We got like six people. Good evening, Friday night. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me? Tonight, we have such a special gift, and I want you to join me as they're coming to the stage. Would you give it up for the North Park University Gospel Choir? They got up really early this morning in Chicago, and they jumped on a plane, and they flew to Denver, and then they got on a bus, and then they raced down here right before church to do a sound check. They brought their band with them. It's going to be so much fun tonight. So here's the invitation. Yes. Here's the invitation. Let's go for it. Let's worship Jesus. Let's have a great time. Let's expect him to show up by the power of his Holy Spirit. Let's expect him to heal the sick. Let's expect him to restore those who are in loss right now. Let's expect him to move through this room and give us the gifts that we need tonight. Can you say amen? So would you open your hands and just begin to say, come Holy Spirit. Would you welcome the presence of the Spirit of Jesus in this place? Lord, it's been a Friday. It's been a week. All of us are carrying certain burdens. And tonight, here at 6:30, we hit the reset button. We come and we say, Lord, have your way tonight. Your kingdom come and your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you know what we need tonight. You're the God who meets with your people. You're the God who heals your people. You're the God who loves your people. And so, Lord, we say we've come to worship you tonight. Have your way in this place in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, let's worship the Lord together.
I told y'all it was gonna be fun tonight.
Faith moves the mountains, and praise shakes the walls. Lord, give us an anthem to sing from our souls. A song for the valley, a song for the night. Oh, awake in the heaven, hear our prayer.
Come on, New Life, let's sing it together.
Can we say it? Thank you.
greater than the struggle. 'Cause you are here with us in the battle. And you are God, there will be no other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we sing it again? You are great. 'Cause you are great. Take it up.
Hallelujah, salvation.
just in our minds and in our hearts, just picture this space with all of heaven open before us. Joining the song of the heavens, the song of eternity. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. He is worthy. Come on, let's sing it.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Oh, sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Sing worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Holy, holy, we sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, let's sing it. Oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Oh, with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are
holy, holy.
Spirit of the Lord is in this place. And I have a strong sense that he wants to comfort some people tonight. And so as we come to give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings, a lot of times this moment can feel like, okay, I got to power up. What? All you're doing is partnering with God. You give him what he's trusted to you. You give it to him as worship. But you don't have to work your way into this. And in fact, tonight, God, as we give, God is going to give gifts to us tonight and empower us tonight and comfort us tonight in ways that only he can. So as we give, let's pray. Lord, we pray that these gifts would be a sweet-smelling fragrance to you, that they would be a gift to our city, a gift to our global partners. So we give you these gifts tonight. We bring you our tithes and our offerings, and we say, Lord, take them and make them a blessing. But Lord, I'm asking as the pastor of this congregation that you would bring comfort in this room tonight. For those who are aching, for those who are hurting, comfort in this room tonight. For those who are on the brink, provision in this room tonight. For those who are afraid, peace in this room tonight. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, there's three different ways you can give. That's up on the screen. But as you come to give, would you take your seats for just a minute? We're going to have a special song from the choir here tonight. It's the 150th anniversary of when this great hymn was written. And I want this hymn to be a gift to you tonight. Let it minister to you tonight. We're going to sing, "It Is Well, It Is Well With My Soul." So if it's not well with your soul right now, I want you to receive this by faith. As a gift from the Lord, let's worship together.
Tend my way.
All right, it's been a great night. Have a good one. Peace. 18 to 22-year-old college students going after Jesus with all their heart, all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. We bless you. We love you. North Park University Gospel Choir. We're going to do one more at the end of the night, so you're going to see them one more time. But take 2 minutes. Cross the aisle. Hug a neck. Shake a hand. Be kind in Jesus' name. And then we'll open the Bible. 1, 2, 3. Be nice. All right, all right, all right. Come on in, grab your seats. Come on in. Could you grab that door over there on the side, D? Could you, thank you. What do you say after that? I mean, praise the Lord. Unbelievable, so inspiring. The church of the future is in good hands with young ones like that coming up. Another announcement is we have baptisms coming on April 5th, Friday night, April 5th. So we have Good Friday, the Friday before Easter, and then Easter is March 31st, so Good Friday is March 29th. So the following Friday, April 5th, we're baptizing people right here. If you've never been to one of our baptism services, we don't know how to do a lot of things, but we know how to do a baptism service, all right? We celebrate, we party, we have a great time. So if you are... Two things. One, just come. Just come. The second thing is, if you are feeling the call by the Spirit of the Lord to be baptized, if you want to proclaim your faith in Jesus, if you want to go public and say, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back, you can get signed up online or come find one of us. We would be honored to baptize you that night, April 5th. Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 9. And we are in week 8 of our series going through the Gospel of John. So what I'm going to do is read you the first 11 verses of John chapter 9, and then I'll pray, and then we'll jump in. So settle your hearts, open yourself up to be spoken to by the Spirit of the living Jesus, and hear the word of the Lord as we read from John 9. It says, as Jesus went along, he saw a blind man from birth. A man who was blind from birth. Jesus saw a man who couldn't see. There's a theme here. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, Who sinned? Now, just like try to feel the weight of this. There's a poor guy who's been blind from birth, minding his own business. He has no idea what's going on. And Jesus sees him. And Jesus has these 12 knuckleheads who are following him around the dusty roads of Palestine. And Jesus sees him, doesn't seem to say anything, but these 12 want to know who messed it up so that this guy was born blind. Rabbi, who sinned that this man or his parents that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming, says Jesus, when no one can work. And while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Darkness is coming. Let's be the light. Jesus says, we do the works of the one who sent me. Let's go for it. And after saying this, he spit on the ground. And he made some mud with the saliva from the dirt. And he put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, the blind man. Go, Jesus told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. And this word Siloam means sent. So the man went and he washed and he came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg, or does he have a twin brother? That's not in the text, that's the DG translation. Some claimed that he was. It's him. And others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. I am the man. Flag that. I am the man. How then were your eyes opened? They asked him. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud, and he put it on my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam. He sent me there, and I washed. And so I went and I washed, and then I could see. This is the word of the Lord, and all God's people said, thanks be to God. Let's pray. Jesus, come and speak. Come and speak. How simple can we make it? We have to hear from God tonight. We have to hear from God. We've heard from CNN. We've heard from Fox News. We've heard from Twitter. We've heard from Instagram. We've heard from all the political pundits. We've heard from Putin. And we've heard from just all the wars and the rumors of wars. There's so much noise. We pray right now that all of it would be silenced and that we would hear the very voice of God. Speak to us, Jesus. Move among us, Jesus. Heal us tonight, Jesus. Touch us and open our eyes, for we are all blind tonight, Jesus. And help us to see as we leave from this place tonight. May the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We pray these things tonight in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said. Jesus is simply spectacular. I don't know how else to say it. John chapter 2, there's this wedding, and Jesus is minding his own businesses, and his mom snaps him to attention. Get to work, baby, we're out of wine. And he takes these 6 water pots filled with 20 to 30 gallons of water, and he does what only he can do, and he takes the water and turns it into wine. It would have been the equivalent of 908 bottles of wine the way we bottle them today for a whole community, for a whole week of a wedding celebration. Jesus wanted them to have joy. And Jesus brings joy. And Jesus then, he heals an ailing person's son. And Jesus prophesies to the woman at the well in chapter 4. And he heals the lame man who was lame for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. And he feeds the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he walks on water to cross to the other side. And he stills the storm. And spoiler alert, he's finna raise Lazarus up. In chapter 11, Jesus is spectacular. There's nobody like Jesus, but here we are in chapter 9, and Jesus does something so beautiful for a man who was born blind. He opens his eyes. A man who was blind from birth, that detail matters. Why does that detail matter? Because Jesus is wanting to unravel a false assumption in the ancient world. And have you ever noticed that when something goes wrong, we're always looking for someone to blame? Whose fault is it that we live in a complex world? Someone's got to pay. Someone's got to be held accountable. Someone's got to take the blame. And it certainly wasn't me, but I need to know who it was that messed my life up. I need to know who it was that's making life more difficult for all of us. And Jesus comes to a man who had done nothing wrong. From birth, he was born blind. And his disciples want to know who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. And Jesus wants to unravel this understanding in the ancient world. There was a broad assumption that misfortune always arises from misdeed. Misfortune always arises from misdeed. If something goes wrong with you, it's because you messed it up. If something goes wrong with you, it's because you're cursed. You had an ancestor way back, and we don't really know how all this works, but somewhere, someone in your line, in your DNA, your bloodline, they did the wrong thing, and now it's just been passed down through, and you are cursed, and you have no control over it. Jesus wants to unravel the false assumption that misfortune always arises from misdeed. Now, the closest thing we have in the Bible, a lot of the ancient societies thought this. The closest thing we have in the Bible is Deuteronomy chapter 5 and Exodus chapter 20 and Exodus 34 verse 7 that talks about the sins of the fathers and the mothers being visited down to the third and fourth generations. That's in the Ten Commandments. But here's what that's not saying. I need you to know what that's not saying. That is not saying that God is eager to curse anyone he can. And a lot of times we read it that way, the sins of the fathers visited down to the third and fourth generation, as if God is so happy about making all of us miserable. Oh, caught you. Your kids are in trouble. They're gonna pay because you were no, that's not what's happening here. In the realm of psychotherapy and family systems theory, they would understand that unless you address something, that it spreads within a system. That whatever remains unaddressed spreads within the system. And so, of course, if there are knuckleheads in a family system, if there's a family member that is dominating and destroying other people and doing that in the name of God, what do you think's going to happen? Something's going to be misshapen in the life of those children. But when you address it in the name of Jesus, and when you cast out that lie in the name of Jesus, you can find yourself into wholeness. And so what Jesus is saying here is, this guy and his parents didn't do anything wrong. Sometimes bad things happen in a fallen world. But we're not just gonna leave it there, says Jesus, because my power trumps all of the evil and all of the darkness of this world, and I can work within the brokenness of this world to take it up into wholeness. Jesus says, just hang on a minute and watch me work. There will be unique opportunities here for the work of God to be displayed. Jesus doesn't treat this guy as a tragedy. Jesus doesn't treat this guy as a sin-induced calamity, but he says this, there's opportunity here for the glory of God. There's opportunity. And I'm telling you tonight, if you are living in a situation that feels cursed, it's not a calamity that you'll never rise above. What it is it's an opportunity for Jesus to enter in and to show his glory. It's an opportunity for Jesus to bring healing and life out of that situation. I want to show you two pictures. One, my friend Brian. This is my neighbor growing up, and the house behind us is the house that I grew up in. And my mom and my dad and I planted those trees out in our front yard when I was, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years old. Brian was my next door neighbor. And Brian is 10 months older than me. He has Williams syndrome. And Williams syndrome, I'm not a doctor, but I've studied it enough and I've talked to them enough to know what's going on. His heart beats essentially doubly fast, faster than our hearts, double time. So he ages at a quicker rate. His life has been really difficult for Brian. But you know who doesn't really seem to know that? The most innocent guy you have ever met in your life. And he loves Jesus with all of his heart and soul and mind and strength. And people with Williams syndrome, they'll have one fixation. Basically, they're like savant in one category. And his fixation is car washes. Honest to God. I've picked up Brian and I've driven him to car washes all over Tulsa, Oklahoma. And when we get in the car wash, he tells me about the engine that's powering the brushes and what kind of brushes they are and what kind of soaps are coming out now. And then this is going to happen. And then this is going to happen. That you are, he, it's like Jesus is returning when he talks about a car wash. I want to show you just a quick video. Can you go to the second video?
Brian,
can you go
Campbell?
To the, sorry,
Brian,
go to the second video. Think, this
man?
Is Brian.
Yeah.
Oh, it's unlocked.
It's unlocked. You got it?
I got it.
Okay.
I've done this before.
Yes, sir. Buckle up, all right?
So I was taking Brian to the car wash in my father-in-law's big truck that I borrowed, and he loved the truck, and he wanted to see the truck, and then we went to the car wash, and he told me all about it. And Brian was recently, within the last couple years, inducted, I didn't know this existed, into the Car Wash Hall of Fame. The Car Wash Hall of Fame. And he goes to conventions all over the country, all the car wash conventions. I didn't know that happened either. And the CEOs of the largest car wash companies fight over who can buy Brian's ticket. No, we got him this time. We're bringing his family out. We want the blessing of God. Get off Brian. Brian's our guy. And Brian goes to the car wash conventions all over this country, and he has to get in a wheelchair because he doesn't have the strength to walk around these massive convention centers for hours at a time. And they put him in a wheelchair, and they roll him out into the middle of the room. And hundreds of people gather around Brian. And you know what he tells them? You all should love Jesus. Because Jesus is so good. Jesus is the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords, and he saved me and redeemed me, and he's healing the whole world, and I don't want you to miss out on that healing. You should worship Jesus. And Brian is saying, can I pray for you? He's laying hands on people. He's speaking peace over people. He's speaking wholeness into people. Rabbi, who sinned? Nobody sinned. This is glory right here. This is what heaven looks like right here. I firmly believe this, like we all need Jesus. I don't really know, I can't identify anything that's wrong in Brian's spirit. He is so crystal clear, pure. He's holy, he loves God, he's faithful. Of course, he trusts in Jesus, but I'm just telling you, Brian is a living saint. We need to just stop trying to assign blame and figure out why all the stuff is wrong. And we need to be able to spot glory when it's in front of us. I want to show you this next picture. This is Nathan Thompson. And Nathan lived in the house that Brian lives in now. Before Brian moved in, the Thompsons lived next door. This was my next door neighbor all growing up. And Nathan is strong as an ox. I don't think I'm making this up. I think he was benching over 300 pounds. He's a monster. I mean, short guy, super powerful. Worked at Pizza Hut for years. Worked at Home Depot for years. Nathan would beat the snot out of me. And he was so fun. Nathan's probably 48, Mom. 48, 49 right now. I'm 41. So I lived next to Nathan Thompson for all my growing up, and then the Thompsons moved down the street, and Brian Campbell and all of his family moved in. I'm telling you, God put me next to heroes in the house that I grew up in. And Nathan, he walks into a room and he lights it up with joy, and he takes care of people and he blesses people. He's a generous guy. He goes to church all the time, and I bumped into him over Thanksgiving when I was back at Oral Roberts University in the basketball game. And I'll just tell you that Nathan and Brian bring more glory to God than all the professional athletes who in their press conferences say, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all that. That's fine. That's cool. It compares nothing to Nathan and Brian and the glory that they have brought to God through their faithful lives. And we need to learn how to spot glory when it's in front of us. I'll say it this way. We need to stop seeing calamity and start seeing God's glory. The text starts with Jesus unraveling an old ancient understanding of cursedness and calamity. And Jesus goes, no, find God's glory in it. It starts there, but then it moves into this text of new creation. And it says in verse 4, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Jesus says, night is coming when no one can work. And while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And after saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva, and he put it on the man's eyes. Now, this is just, at first blush, if you aren't like a student of the scriptures, this just seems disrespectful. Like, are you serious? What? Excuse me? No, thank you, Jesus. Next. You know, like, it just seems strange. But immediately, those Hebrews around Jesus would have gone, you're doing what? Genesis 2, verse 7, I want you to see our origin story. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Our story starts in the dirt, with God forming us out of the chaos and the confusion and the messiness and the brokenness and the dust. Is what? Friends, this is where we come from. God is not afraid of the mess. God is not afraid of a situation that's not super tidy. What he does is he takes it and he clumps us together and he breathes his spirit into our nostrils and we snap to life as living beings. And this guy, his life had broken down. This guy didn't have what he needed. This guy was living in the chaos and the abyss like Genesis 1 was. The formlessness and the void and darkness hovering over the face of the deep. But you know what? The Spirit of God is brooding over those waters. And Jesus shows up to a guy who had been born blind and he works a work of new creation. He spits in the dust and he puts it together and makes these little clumps of mud and he puts them on his eyes and he's saying, I'm going to do a Genesis 2 verse 7 thing to you all over again. Now go wash and clean up and look at the glory of God. It's a work of new creation that Jesus is doing here. And it's a beautiful thing to see. Jesus was there in the garden with his Father, fashioning us out of the dirt by the power of their Spirit. And here's the beauty of the God that we serve. Creation wasn't just a one-time event frozen in the distant past. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God's dynamic creativity, creation is always ongoing. God is always remaking us. God is always renewing the face of the waters. God is always healing the chaos. God is always stepping into the brokenness. This wasn't just some cool party trick that God did in the distant past to get us going and then he leaves us by ourselves. No, he's the God who's always taking the clump of dirt that is your life and he's breathing his life into it. His dynamic spirit creation is always ongoing. And so if you are living in the chaos, God will not leave you there. He swings by. He circles back. He comes your way. When you were blind, the story starts with a blind guy minding his own business. He has no idea what's going on, but Jesus sees him. And some of you feel like you can't see what's going on and you're just kind of lost in your own story and you're just kind of lonely in the cosmos. I'm telling you, it may look like blindness and darkness for you right now, but Jesus sees you. Jesus has come by. Jesus is interested. Jesus still has the breath of life in him. Jesus still knows how to take the dirt and put you back together. Friends, what if Jesus is doing a work of new creation in you? Don't look now. What if he's doing a work of new creation in you right as we speak? My suspicion tells me that he is. God's dynamic spirit is constantly creating and recreating. And aren't you glad we don't serve a God who's a one and done God? Aren't you glad that we don't have a God who's impatient with us? Aren't you glad that we don't have a God who goes, well, I gave you one shot. Well, maybe I'll give you another. No, he just keeps coming. Praise God for that. He steps into the dirt and the mud and he brings newness and freshness and a world of possibility and we don't have to stay stuck and we don't have to stay bound and we don't have to stay enslaved to sin. I'll say there's a pure version of you and then there's a perversion of you. But Jesus has the power to take you back to the innocence of your origin story. The devil comes to pervert the beautiful purity that God created us in. Adam and Eve, possibility, go for it, have a blast. Take dominion, this is your garden. Go rule it in my image, I trust you. And the snake slithers up and he perverts the purity and the beauty on the inside. But thank God we don't serve a God who walks away from us. Jesus comes to restore us to the innocence of our origin story. He comes to take us back to newness, thank God. If this isn't good news, I want you to notice a really important detail. Verse 7 says, go, Jesus told them. Wash in the pool of Siloam. And Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. Do you see that there's a bit of a delay in the healing? Do you see that there's a bit of a process that God takes us through to make us new? Do you see that God isn't impatient with the journey for us? Do you see that God wants us to have skin in the game? Do you see that God wants us to partner with him in our wholeness? Do you see that God is not going to just enable us? Preach this Bible. Come on, man. I love that. You better say it. Preach this Bible, baby. Preach this Bible. And do you also see that there will have to be other people that help us? He's blind. He has no idea what's going on. He can hear things. Okay, so someone's around. Okay. Okay, what who are we talking? Okay, Jesus. Okay, the 12 knuckleheads who are accusing me of being an idiot. Okay, I forgive you. And Jesus spits and he hears that, and finally he senses Jesus kind of scratching something, exfoliating his eyes and doing something weird, and okay, I'll trust you. I mean, it's not what I would have done, but okay. But now Jesus says, get up and go down to the pool of Siloam. Well, where's the pool of Siloam? Well, your friends will take you. Okay. And these are cobblestone streets, maybe. They're dusty streets. It's I've snaked through Jerusalem. It's a wild city. I got my eyes closed right now. This is uncomfortable. I feel like I'm gonna fall off the stage. And imagine like living this way, and some of you know what that's like. But he's got some friends who will take him down to the pool. And Siloam means sent. Siloam means Jesus wants you to work at it. Jesus wants you to maybe go to therapy. Jesus maybe wants you to sign up for Celebrate Recovery. Maybe Jesus wants you to join a men's fire team or join one of the women's groups around here. Jesus wants you to participate. This is why we come to church and we don't just watch church online. I bless all of you who are watching online, but online is always a backstop. It's not the front door. It's for when you're sick. It's for when you're in the hospital. It's for our soldiers who are deployed. God love all of you. It's a really great second option. But the first thing is people that can see you, people who can help you get down to the pool of Siloam to get your sight back. Jesus is not in a hurry. Jesus will always ask you to partner with him for your healing. Sent, Siloam, work at it, go for it, stand up, go. Be a part of the process. I want you to take responsibility. I'm not going to enable you. I will strengthen you and I will heal you as you walk down the road to your healing. I love this detail. I had never seen this. I've read this story for 41 years. I grew up in church. I love this story. I saw it today for the first time. What happens is this true man gets revealed. This guy, who'd spent his life as sort of a problem in the society. He was kind of in the way. He was kind of an eyesore. The Department of Tourism didn't really like him in the streets because it's not really good for business and kind of, they didn't like him. They didn't like him. And so what does that do to someone's spirit? It breaks you. When you're a problem to be solved, it breaks you. When you're a statistic out in the street, it breaks you. And this guy had been broken, and something happens here. Jesus doesn't just restore his sight, he restores his identity. I need you to see this. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked him, like, this can't truly be the guy because he looks too whole. He looks like a human. He's not a problem. That doesn't look like the problem we've known for decades. This guy looks like a human. Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? And some claimed that he was, and others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. I am. Like, you can't ignore me anymore. I am the man, and I'm a human being. And God loves me. I've been healed. I've got a story. I've got a testimony. I am the man. Now that's cool, but I need you to see just a little bit deeper into this. I don't do this much, but the Greek language, ego eimi. Ego eimi. I am that man. I am. Ego eimi. And he says that in this moment, and students of the scripture would go, oh my gosh, that was a flex. He just said that? I am? Because Jesus 23 times in the Gospel of John says, ego eimi. Ego eimi. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ego eimi. Jesus shows up from heaven and he walks the streets and he says, here I am. This is reality in human form. I am the embodiment of God's truth. I am, ego eimi. And this guy says, ego eimi. I'm back, baby. You don't know who you're working with. You thought that I was a former blind guy who's just sort of an eyesore in the community, and I'm just kind of in the way. No, I am the man. You can say what you want about me, but I know what Jesus did in me, and I know my identity in Christ, and I know that I've got wholeness, and I know that God is for me, and if God is for me, who can be against? Ego eimi. I'm here, he says. People are fighting. Isn't this the man? Or no, is that the man? And they're arguing back and forth about his identity. But this guy shouts. Everyone shut up. I'm the man that Jesus cared about today. I'm the man who used to be blind, but now I can see. I'm the man who used to be on my own. But now I've got possibilities. I can, even in my imagination, I can see, but in my imagination, I can see new horizons. Because when you've been broken like that, your imagination closes up. And blind people have beautiful imaginations, beautiful hearing. Their senses are heightened in other ways because they can't see. But this guy, you gotta know, he had been so broken that he'd lost his superpower of being able to feel at a deep level, of being able to perceive at a deep level, of being able to imagine at a deep level. And Jesus not only gives him the ability to see, he gives him the ability to see a future. And I am that man. He gets his sight back, but maybe most importantly, he gets his identity back. Some of you tonight are carrying shame. Some of you tonight have been so broken. And some of you tonight know in your spirit it wasn't your fault. You didn't do this. Now, all of us have moments where we regret having said something. We've made mistakes. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm not trying to create some sort of saintly understanding of our, like, we got stuff. But some of you have been broken in a way so deeply in your spirit, and it was not your fault. And Jesus tonight is here to remove the shame from you. Jesus is here tonight to open your eyes in a brand new way. Jesus is here tonight to help you see a future you haven't been able to imagine for the last 5 years. Jesus is here tonight to awaken identity in you so that you go out of here and you walk to your car with a little swagger and you go, I am that woman. I am that man. Ego me, I'm here tonight. I'm back. Do you see the juxtaposition? The final verse I want you to see is the very first verse, John 9, verse 1. As Jesus went along, he saw a guy that couldn't see anything. Do you see the juxtaposition? As Jesus passed by, he saw someone who could never have seen him. This guy didn't race to Jesus. Jesus raced to him. And some of you here tonight, you just need to hear the good news of the gospel. Jesus came tonight to look for you. Jesus came tonight to chase you down. It's not because of works. It's not because you're great. It's not because I've done anything to merit his favor. He's just God who loves us. He's God who comes after us. He's God who's here to save. Jesus is here tonight, and you may not have come in able to see him, and you may not have come in tonight with the expectancy that you'd be met by him, but Jesus passed by you, and he saw where you were, and he swung by, and he's the God who keeps coming back by, and he spits in the dirt, and he rubs it in your eyes tonight, and he's here to say, go down to the pool of Siloam, because healing is coming to you tonight. Would you stand with me tonight, church? Can we just begin to simply call on the name of Jesus? Could you close your eyes? I want you to have a face-to-face with Jesus tonight. Maybe, just imagine before the guy could see, maybe he heard the footfall of Jesus. Maybe the dust got kicked up. Maybe there was a little scene. He heard the noise of something pressing in around him. And he, what, me? What's going on with me? Why are people surrounding me tonight? I want you to feel the surrounding presence of heaven tonight. Jesus is here to see you. Jesus is here by the power of his creative spirit to do an ongoing work of salvation. Jesus, come. Would you begin to just say to Jesus, I need you, Jesus. I need your help. I need your healing. I need your deliverance. I need your protection. Jesus, I need you to be for me tonight. I need you to protect me tonight. In Jesus giving this guy his sight back, he also gave him an economy back. Some of you need Jesus to care about your economy tonight. He does. But something in you has to just begin to believe that it's possible. Believe that he might be for you. Believe that these instructions, hey, go down to the pool of Siloam tonight, that you can trust it, that you can actually engage the process. You need to believe and you need to start to move toward it with the little shred of faith that you have. He wants your partnership tonight. And so I'm asking King Jesus, come and flood this place in a fresh way. Some of you feel him tonight. I don't know how to explain that. You sense he's near you. You sense a God holding your hand or a warmth in your body. I don't know how all this works. I just know that it's real. So Jesus, come and fill this place tonight. Restore your people tonight. Help us tonight. We need help. Some of you, all you can pray is help, 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 help. He loves that cry. He hears that cry. I sense to invite a moment here. Some of you do need to repent. Some of you do need to make some new decisions, turn in a new direction. Welcome to being human. I repent every day, 50 times a day, and I need to. Can you just begin to say, Lord, cleanse me and purify me and forgive me and wash me and make me new, Jesus. Do a new creation in my spirit. Do a new creation in my desires. Do a new creation in my wants. Do a new creation in my affections. Jesus, heal me tonight to the deepest places. Cleanse me. Lord Jesus, we repent. We humble ourselves before you. And we're so grateful that you're the God who cares. I want to invite our communion servers to come down. And if you're new with us, we move through the room. If you're physically not able, no shame. Tap your neighbor, they'll bring you an extra. But if you are able to move through the room, imagine yourself tonight walking down to the pool of Siloam as you come to get your communion elements. Jesus, and he did something to your eyes tonight. He did something to your spirit tonight. But move, participate with your healing. And as you come through, you'll receive the communion elements. Go back to your seat, hold them there as we worship. And in just a minute, I'll come back up and we'll receive together. Let's worship the Lord Jesus.
Oh, the perfect Son of God, in all his innocence, he walking in the dirt with you and me. He knows what living is, he's acquainted with our grief. A man of sorrow, son of suffering, blood and tears. How can it be? There's a God who weeps. There's a God who bleeds. Oh, praise the one who would reach for me. Hallelujah to the Son of Suffering. Our distant and removed, but you chase us down in merciful pursuit. To the sinner you were grace, and the broken you embrace. And in the end, the proof is in your wounds. Yes, in the end, the proof is in your wounds. In blood and tears, how can it be? There's a God who weeps, there's a God who bleeds. Oh, praise the one who would reach for me. Hallelujah to the Son of Suffering. Your stripes, come on, my healing, all praise, King Jesus. Lift your hands. Glory to God in heaven, your blood still speaking, your love still reaching, all praise, King Jesus. Glory to God forever, your cross, come on, my freedom, your stripes. God in heaven.
church? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
It's nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow.
And oh, precious is the flow that makes my life so in love.
All these stories that we've been studying tell us one thing. God is for you. 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 I can hardly think of a story that tells it better. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus, he said, I'll show you how much I'm for you. I will let it break me. I will let it destroy me. I will let it kill me. I will give everything for you to be well. On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. And as often as you do this for the remembrance of me. So friends, tonight as you come to receive the bread of Jesus, remember that God is for you. Let's take the bread. On the same night, he took the cup of wine. He said, this cup is the new covenant. The new covenant. God wants to do business with us. God wants to partner with us. God wants to be for us forever. This is the new covenant given in my blood. And it's given for the remission of all of your sins. And as often as you do this for the remembrance of me. Drink up to your forgiveness tonight, church. Sing, oh come.
Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore.
Come on, choir, come on.
Oh come, let us adore.
Oh, Christ the Lord.
In Christ.
For he alone is worthy. Sing it.
For he alone is worthy.
You are worthy, O Jesus.
For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. He is right.
And now let's sing. We'll give him all the glory.
We'll give him.
You got one more good one in you. So at the top of the set, the third song, we sang a song called Revelation 19. Hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power to the Lamb. Okay, so we warmed you up for it at the top of the service. You should know it by now, okay? So let's sing this from the depths of our being. Let's worship our way out of here. Come on, celebrate together.
salvation and glory, honor and power to the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty, yes, the Lord our God is omnipotent, hey, the Lord our God.
Church, can we say thank you to the North Park University Gospel Choir tonight? Tracy LaJordan Stingley, Sr. Church, would you stretch your hands out to them tonight? Did they come and bless us? Now I want you to bless them. I want you to speak life over them. I want you to pray over their future. I want you to pray that they'd have great jobs out of college. I want you to pray that their lives would thrive after college. I want you to pray that they'll serve Jesus in every sphere that he sends them into. So Lord, we pray the blessing of God. We pray that you would open heaven over this choir. We pray that these students would bless the world. We pray that they would love you with all their heart and soul and mind and strength. And we pray the favor of God over them. We pray that everything they touch would prosper. We pray that Psalm 1 would be true, that they'd be like trees planted by streams of living water that bear fruit in every season. Their leaf never withers, and whatever they touch, let it prosper. And so, Lord, with every blessing they've given us tonight, we pray a hundredfold, a blessing return over them in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, one more time, church, give it up. Okay, just the organ as we pray the benediction, because I think heaven is going to be a B3 organ. Can you play "To God Be the Glory" as we pray them out tonight? Can you open your hands tonight? Yeah, I'm just going to let that sit for a minute. Go ahead. And now open your hands to receive the blessing as you go, I pray. May the Lord our God bless you, and may he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you, and may he be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift his bright smiling countenance upon you and all of your people, and may he grant you his peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, can we give God thanks for what he's done here tonight? If you're new, swing by Guest Central afterwards in the back. We'd love to give you a gift. Go from here tonight in God's grace and peace. So much love.